Hello, and welcome to OK C-SPAN, the only podcast called OK C-SPAN. Hubbub, hubbub, busy newsroom, murmurs, typewriter noises. Welcome. Hey, Nate. Welcome.
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 Welcome to your own podcast.
Hey, Katrina, welcome.
Welcome.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, listeners. Welcome, Moon. this is episode 3 of OK C-SPAN : podcast edition. My favorite ever joke in The Mighty Boosh was when Howard says, Howard Moon, : explorer. That's got a ring to it. And Noel says, Howard Moon, : explorer's got the wrong ring to it. And it makes me laugh so much. Oh, so welcome to this podcast, episode 3. I'm so glad to be here. It's been, listen, you at home, that includes a lot of people listening. Not everybody, a lot of people might be listening in their car, but it definitely includes the two people in the room with me who are Nate Ward.
Hello.
Hi, Nate. Again, welcome to your home. And my best friend,
Katrina. And my best wife.
And your best wife, really. We talked about this recently. Also, your worst wife.
I mean, it's true.
It's fair.
You're my best friend. You're not my worst friend.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you that.
That's so nice.
You are my best and worst wife.
Isn't that something?
Katrina Ward.
I can live with that.
Well, fair enough. I hope so, because it's a huge legal process to change it at this point. Katrina has been out of town for like 2 weeks, and Nate has been out of town for the last week. So I'm just really glad to have you guys home here at your home where I'm sitting. I don't live here. I came here while you were gone and recorded a different podcast. I had an altercation with the sheriff's deputy just today. I wasn't committing a crime. No one was, except for, if you ask me, the sheriff's deputy. He was committing the crime of being a real asshole to a homeless guy I know.
I wish that was a crime.
I feel like they're really good at committing that particular crime.
It's a crime of the spirit. It's a crime against the Lord. Our Lord and Savior would not approve of that kind of behavior. So today is the 25th of September, but we're recording as though it was Saturday a few days ago. We're going to be talking about the week of the 16th of September and some, local politics stuff that happened that week. So just want you to know, the royalties from Born with a Flag in My Mouth have just been rolling in. Can't believe how much money. I've received a cease and desist from Alan Jackson. I'm being sued. You guys are too. Sorry about that. Lots happened since you've been out of town. You're getting sued by Alan Jackson.
The cool. Betsy Ross Foundation.
Buddy. Anyway, yeah, quite a week. Let me tell you one thing that happened this week. On the 16th, that was a Monday. So Sunday, like late in the afternoon, early evening, local District 1 County Commissioner Carrie Blumert sent me a message and said, hey, you should come to the tax roll meeting tomorrow. It's my first one to chair. So apparently the chair of the Board of County Commissioners is the chair for the tax roll authority commission, whatever it is. And she told me I should come to that. And you know what? Egg on my face. I went to it, and it was dumb. It was so short and pointless. And, I mean, I did get to talk to Jared Shaded's dad. He's on that committee. And County Assessor Larry Stein. I talked to him a little bit. I got there early. Commissioner Blumer did not get there early. She is big on being on time. I'm old-fashioned. Let me tell you. Here's a youth minister I used to really admire named J.C. Ferrand in Shawnee, Oklahoma. He would always say, to be 5 minutes early is to be on time. To be on time is to be late. To be late is to be left. And I always kind of like, I stick with that, you know? Yeah, and he would do it too. Like, he would take the kids to Falls Creek and he'd say, we're leaving at 7 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock, he would be on the bus and he would pull out of the parking lot. It was the best. He'd have parents driving down the highway, flashing their lights and honking at him and trying to get him to stop so they could get their kid on the bus.
Hilarious. Ruthless.
Oh, yes. Oh. This was a longstanding rule of his. Like, you know.
I mean, I respect that.
Okay, but like, there are 10 commandments and punctuality is not one of them. That's for certain.
In recent years, I've come to understand that my sort of allegiance to timeliness is a point of privilege. Now, we didn't have much growing up, but what we did have was control over our time. And that is something that you have with privilege. Spending the last few years serving people who are experiencing homelessness, like I make an appointment with somebody. I want them to be there and I want to help them develop the life skill of showing up for appointments and things like that. But you know what? Like, that's real easy for me to say. I've got an iPhone that I can just say, make a loud noise at 6:30 a.m. and I'll wake up, right?
Yeah.
And when I wake up, I'm going to go into a bathroom, you know, and I can get ready there for my day. This is not the same as living outside. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's totally. Also a cultural thing. There's a line in The Crossing by Cormac McCarthy where the main character, Billy, came home much later than he was supposed to because he was out looking for a wolf. Anyway, the next morning his dad said, why were you late last night? And Billy starts to say something and his dad cuts him off. He says, because your word is no damn good. It's the only reason anybody's ever late. And man, I really embraced that when I was younger, but now I realize, no, that's just that is what farm culture is, right? That's what my culture is like. Not everybody's. So anyway, I've learned to loosen up on that. I'm still early for everything. Our friend and commissioner, that sounded so similar to our Lord and Savior that it threw me off. Our friend and commissioner, Jesus Christ. Nope, got that wrong.
Jesus Christ, the great commissioner.
Our friend and District 1 County Commissioner, Carrie Bloomer, she's an on-timer. So that meeting starts at whatever it was, 9:30. She walked in the door at 9:30. I'd been there for like 10, 15 minutes already. And then the meeting lasted about 10 minutes. Nate, you said, when the thread is short enough to fit on a t-shirt.
I still want to make that thread a t-shirt.
I might as well.
Honestly do.
I'm all for it.
I don't remember the specifics, but it was something like, okay, so the meeting's starting, and here's an agenda item, and then, oh, the meeting's over.
Lol, this meeting adjourned, is what I said. LOLOL. Yeah, so that was a waste of my time, and I felt like I got pranked. But you know who really got pranked?
Carrie
Commissioner Bloomer. Yeah, she has to keep going to that. She doesn't get out of that. So later that day, I went to the meeting of the Traffic and Transportation Committee.
Oh, that sounds like a good one.
You know what? I think that people probably hear that day would think, well, that sounds boring. And you're not wrong.
Oh.
But I really enjoyed it.
I thought it sounded exciting.
It's the kind of thing you would like and right. I would like, but no one think most people would want to hear about like data about traffic, right? Well, that's
episode a week learning about data.
Yeah. Well, There was a lot of it there. I really enjoyed it. One thing that got brought up was a construction site at Northwest 12th and Dewey.
Okay.
So you picture where McNelly's is, mm-hmm. really where the bakeries used to be, mm-hmm. right across the street from that. There's a construction site there that they're building. Housing and multi-use, like retail on the bottom, and also a parking lot that will have 120 parking spots. And they had an application to make some parallel parking spots on Dewey and on 12th. At first, I was concerned about the ones on Dewey because there's a bike lane on Dewey that I constantly call the city and complain that people are parked in the bike lane, people who live at what is that, the edge that's up there?
I think so.
Yeah. on the Dewey side instead of on the Walker side, you know, on the back side of Commonplace.
Yeah.
People that's park.
Not, I don't know what that's called. Is that the edge?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. It's the edge by a loft at level. I don't know. Right. It's a, yeah. people are always parked in the bike lane and you know what? They've got their own space. So that bothers me. And so you know what I will do? I'll be a busybody and I'll call the police and get them to come write a ticket. I walked through that today and they're going to have to do construction to make that possible, but whatever. Jesse Rush from the trolley came to protest having those parallel spots on 12th in between. So you see the spots, you travel the, I mean, you don't take the streetcar to do it because it takes too long and where are you going? But you have traveled part at least of the streetcar path at some point. You've seen the parallel spots and there's a white line that says don't park over the line. And what happens when you park over the line is the streetcar has to stop. They blow their horn. Then they have to call dispatch. Then they have to call the police. They come and they'll tow you, whatever. It's a huge waste of time and money and it's stupid.
As someone who works in front of the streetcar, I can personally attest to the fact that this happens about once a week.
Just Nate had this really great discovery the other day. He saw,
I'll be the judge of that,
these streetcars that were not affixed to a track. They could just drive about freely.
They were literally just like a streetcar, except for they were not. I don't understand how they did it, but they were like motor powered essentially, and they had like these rubber discs that they sat
on. So weird, right? It's almost like they've reinvented sort of a wheel. I took one
that's
of those
exactly
yesterday.
What it's like.
You know what happened to me when I was on one of those rubber tire streetcars?
What?
The thing about the ribs, right?
Well, that happened. That was pretty dope.
What was that?
Oh, yeah, I was on my way to the psychiatrist. Hi, my name is Marty Piercy. I go to the psychiatrist because I have mental illness, which means I have illness. I have a disease, a couple of them, mostly in the brain. And so I was on my way to the psychiatrist. I took the bus like I do, and the driver and one passenger were joking around a lot. And then the driver handed him, so I shouldn't say this because I don't want to get that operator in trouble. I didn't say what bus it was. The operator turned around and handed him like a Ziploc bag of ribs, and it really started to turn into, we're passing this bag of ribs around. Like it was like, and then the guy just decided to hog them all to himself. Hog them. That's a pretty good way to describe them.
Bogarting the ribs.
Bogarting the ribs.
You're hogging.
Hogging those ribs.
I actually have a transit related question. So
is it about cargo trains?
No, it's not.
Sorry.
So you went to the transit meeting.
Yes.
And what happened?
Oh, interesting. So with the parallel parking, Jesse Rush of the trolley system did not want the parallel spots in between the trolley tracks and the sidewalk because people don't park well. And also people will, you know, sometimes when you get really impatient, because you're sitting in a 1,000-pound climate-controlled metal box.
Affixed to the ground.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, get out of my way! And you drive around a thing because you just can't wait for 8 extra seconds in your air conditioning. That happens there, and people will go around the streetcar, and that means they're driving into oncoming traffic. Almost anywhere that the streetcar is, if they're behind it, they're moving into oncoming traffic to try to drive around. And if they park and they're not inside that white line, it takes forever for it's just people are bad at parking. People are bad at driving. People are bad at not using. Well, they're good at not using public transportation. Go for it.
I will argue, and I will die on this hill. The trolley is not public transportation.
Mm.
It is not reliable. It does not transport you anywhere except for in a very stupid circle.
You're talking about my neighborhood? You're saying it's a stupid circle?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. What if we rename Midtown and Downtown Stupid Circle? Like capital S, capital C, Stupid Circle. Hello and welcome to beautiful Stupid Circle, Oklahoma City.
I think she's right, though, because it violates all rules of public transportation.
All
and
of
it
them.
It was made to excite the middle class and wealthy.
It has worked city. To do that. Not so much of the city. But hey, you know, listen, we've got it now. And the purpose of it is to get people to ride it. And this is something that was actually mentioned at the meeting, is that the purpose of the streetcar is to get people to ride the streetcar. Yeah, well, hey, it's true. And here's my thing about parking, building more parking. 120 more spots means that's 120 more cars that will go and park there. And if you build 5 more parallel spots, that's 5 more cars that will go and park there. Don't build those parking spots so that people have to use that stupid, stupid trolley. Listen, I have free transit for a year. I mean, I already have my annual pass. I've got like half a year left on it. I can take that trolley at
take
will.
That trolley.
I could take that trolley. I could take it in a fair fight. And guess what? I don't do fight fair. I'm gonna come.
This is so far off the rails that it's hardly even about a rail transit anymore.
That trolley comes to fight me. I bet that trolley bring a knife to a gunfight. You know what I mean? That's how dumb that is. This is a podcast called Oklahoma City. Some people, no. That's not right. Sit pretty. And naturally, it's about a trolley. That doesn't make any sense. Oklahoma cars. Sit pat. Some park. And anyway, so that was the main thing that I took away from that meeting was just the idea that we're going to have this. And like Jesse Rush, God love him, meaty looking man. He's... like, he's a union boss-looking dude. I like him. He says hi to me now. He introduced himself as working for the trolley, which charmed me. He came to protest this. Everybody else was in favor. And I just thought, like, if it was something like they sent you to get the no, like, to get told no. But I bet you Jason Fairbrush, who's the director of Embark, I bet he would have shown up if it was like, here's something great, you know, and everybody would have been like, hey, yay. But no, Jesse's got to come in and get told no. I mean, that's his job.
Good for him.
He gets paid more than I do. I assume. I'm on a fixed income.
Now seems like a good time to plug that Marty does this because you support him.
Oh.
And you can support him by going to okc-span.com, which will direct you to his Patreon, where you can make a monthly pledge and support him and help him keep doing this.
Also help keep the lights on in his literal home, which would be great.
I thought you were going to give the address. I really frisked, which would be... at 300. Whoa.
Pull a Ron Swanson. Start making noises.
So one other thing that happened. Nah, you know what? That meeting, it was fine. I really enjoyed it, but it is not a thing that I need to relive that whole meeting for you here.
We'll talk about it later.
It's so important to me. Guys, transportation, important to me. Transit, important to me. Parking.
That was a live reenactment of the Twitter meme. Back to transit, though. We just got back from New York, where we got to take trains everywhere.
Here we go.
And it was incredible. And I got back, and I had to drive today in a car. Mm-hmm. And people here are terrible at driving, and it was super frustrating, and I hate it. And I would so much rather ride a train somewhere. That is all.
Yeah, you know what's nice about like a subway or an elevated train, like say
Chicago.
The L in Chicago. You know what L is short for?
The loop.
Elevated train.
Oh.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what doesn't happen most of the time with a subway or an L?
Cars getting in the way and then exactly trains right. Having to honk and get them
badly
out of the way.
Right. you know, it happens more. Anyway, yeah, you're right. No, you got it. So Tuesday night, the 17th, there was a panel at the, I'm going to say, probably the favorite venue of co-hosts Katrina and Nate. Any guesses?
I know where it was.
Oh, okay. It was a Park House at the Myriad Gardens. Here's why. It's important, number one.
Not Park House. The panel.
Yeah. Listen, guys, I don't care about the foundation. I don't like them. They got a board full of people, I think. You know what you call a bus full of foundation board members driving off a cliff? A good start. Anyway, everything's a... this is Oklahoma City. We've got a streetcar that was a flashy thing that does not serve a purpose apart from enriching some already wealthy people. We've got a new park that serves no purpose. It serves... You know what? I'll tell you what. They're so corrupt and backwards. I bet you they are serving dolphin in the cafe at that goddamn park. Oh, cod. They are serving porpoise. Anyway, they have a park that serves the specific
porpoise.
The specific purpose of enriching already rich people. I mean, this public opening. One more time for the people in the back. My name is Marty Piercy. I do not hold public office in this town. I know people who do, and I love them. Some of them more than others.
Greenwell?
No, he's not one. He's one I don't like. But I'm going to say, for example, James Cooper. I like him quite a bit. I'm going to cut you off guard there, right? You know what? James and I don't have the same opinions. We share separate brains. Well, we don't share them. We have separate brains. We share some opinions. Some opinions we don't. That goes for everybody holding public office in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma County, and the state of Oklahoma. I would state, for example, that this is the year 2019, and let's say another person holds public office, County Commissioner Carrie Bloomert. She has her own opinions. Like, she has her own shitty opinions that you can hold her accountable for. You don't need to worry about mine. And that goes likewise, maybe even doubly so, for, let's say, City Councilor Nikki Nice. She's not responsible for my opinions, and I'm not responsible for hers.
They say three times is the rule in comedy, so you're done with the joke.
Yeah, I'm done now. No, that's it. So let me go on to say, all of this bullshit about a park for everyone, it's not. It never was. And
it was never supposed to be.
It was never supposed to be. And this public event that is the opening, I sent you guys the picture of the donation amounts.
I'd already seen it.
Yeah, I'm sure. But like, yeah, a park for everyone, especially companies that can pay $250,000 to have VIP tickets to this.
Go fuck yourself.
Yes, I know. It's garbage. It's garbage. And it's like every other thing that we've done with maps so far in Oklahoma City, the big ticket items, the boathouse, which, by the way, we're bailing out again. Don't trip over my soapbox. I hope I keep an eye on my levels because I'm not trying to yell, but I feel like fucking yelling. Like, this is garbage. And I wouldn't care that much about the Scissortail Park thing except for just a couple of personal experiences, but also this gun thing, the fucking cowardice of our city council for not saying, you know what, bring on the lawsuit. You can't bring a gun into this public event that we're getting sponsored. So it's a private event anyway. It's a private venue when it's not a public venue. Mm-hmm. This, like, the argument doesn't hold water. And the mayor is just blowing smoke. And it's kind of sickening. It's just cowardly. Like, I respect Councilwoman Jo Beth Hammond so much for bringing a resolution to support that, just to support the democratic process of encouraging people to sign a petition to bring this thing to the ballot about the open carry.
Democracy.
Just support that. And those cowards, the cowards who are Mark Stonecipher, of Ward 8, the coward who is David Greenwell of Ward 5. The coward who is Todd Stone of Ward 4, the coward who is Larry McAtee of Ward 3, and the coward who is James Griner of Ward 1 all voted no on that, and they all claimed that this was a political thing. Now, they didn't claim that when Mark Stonecipher said, let's encourage people, as the city council, let's encourage people to vote no on state question 777 a few years ago, something Mark and I agree on. People should have voted no on that, but that wasn't political. Bullshit. Bullshit. And if you live in the suburbs and he's your council person, then maybe you should think about not voting for him again when 4 years when his thing comes up.
Run for office. Just,
run for fucking office.
We'll help you.
I'm so mad right now. Pardon me. I've really gotten off track. But all of that to say, this, guess what I'm not going to do Friday night?
Go to the opening of Central Park.
Surprise, surprise. And you know what I wouldn't have done anyway? Gone to that, because I don't fucking like Kings of Leon.
All of that to really say, a whole fucking house full of boats and you can't stay afloat, really?
Oh, boy! I got him. Where's my soundboard? Oh, man. Yeah, so we bailed out the... Anyway, that's for next week's episode. Went to this climate change panel the other night at Park House, and I went because my spouse was one of the three panelists. And so I went, and it was good. There were some interesting questions and some interesting discussion. I live tweeted it, so go back and look at September 17th on OKC Span's Twitter feed, and you'll get a lot of it. Got to see from my seat with the sun straight into my eyeballs. What a bad place to sit. But I did see Cody Loznia and Rip walk by a couple of times, and that was really nice. I took a picture of them. Rip is so fun. That's a good boy,
it's
right?
It's also
there
on the Twitter feed.
That is, you can see that picture of them walking by. Oh, but you know what happened on the 18th of September?
I was getting ready to sing the song,
remember?
That's the 21st.
Do you remember the 18th day of September? It goes, badia. That's what the lyric is. Badia. I hope that you remember. Mm-hmm. Badia. I'm not kidding. That's
badia.
That's what it says, badia. So I went to the Board of County Commissioners on September 18th. You know what they did? Voted on a consent docket that had 10 horns in it. Whoa. One point of interest from that county commissioners meeting was that for like the third meeting in a row, they could not reassure the employees of the county jail that they would keep their jobs and benefits. It was, I just,
we've
like
literally been talking about that since I met you.
Oh yes, yeah. Sneak preview from next week, next week's episode. They talked about it again today.
Oh, my God.
Because last week they had to strike that item because they could not get it. They could not essentially get their proverbial shit together on that. It's such a complicated. And here's the thing. What I don't think it actually is complicated. I think it is getting complicated by District Attorney David Prater's office. He, as I've said before, takes a very narrow view of all of the Constitution of the state of Oklahoma. He's a Democrat. He's elected as a Democrat. Not that that means much in Oklahoma, but here we are. But he's like a constitutional originalist. Like, weird. The way he applies the law, he's just the narrowest possible take. Instead of what I think, you know, me, legal scholar, I did my legal work at NYU. Yeah, so the legality of reassuring them whether or not they'll be employees of the county and if we can give them the same benefit, it is so pricelessly inane and officious and irritatingly drawn out, as are most things that have to do with local government. Just
also lawyers.
You know, I don't hate lawyers, but you know when you call a bus full of lawyers driving off a cliff? I don't hate lawyers. I really don't. What were you going to say?
A good start.
It's a good start. That's where the joke actually, that's what the joke actually is originally that I made earlier about whatever. But
I'm missed you guys.
I missed you. Welcome back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to OKC Span. This is a podcast about Spanish in Oklahoma City.
Cocker Spaniels.
Oh, Oklahoma Cocker Spaniels. No, that makes sense.
Cocker. The Z just stands for cocker. Yeah, the Z. Spaniels is just span.
In brief, span. You got a C span. What's that? Cocker Spaniel.
Cocker Spaniels. C spans.
Well, I mean, I call my dog is a Minpin. It's a miniature pincher. Minpin. A C, what kind of dog do you have? C span. What's that now?
It's a cocker spaniel.
A Joe Cocker Spaniel, though. It's like, what would you do if I say? And you're like, oh, you good boy. Oh. So the juvenile, let's skip ahead. Let's skip the politics. Let's move. Juvenile Bureau brought a couple. I wrote a whole article about detaining juveniles a while back and then wrote another one recently about what it's like to actually what things cost. I wrote about last week. And when you hear me say I wrote about, typically almost, I'm going to say 99.9% of the time, if I say I wrote about it, it means I wrote an article for Oklahoma City Free Press. So I hope that you'll check out those articles and look at the other coverage. Brett Dickerson is the editor in chief, the founder of, and the main reporter for Oklahoma City Free Press, an online concern here in Oklahoma City. It is hyper-local news, but I write about local politics because I go to these meetings, but he writes about all kinds of stuff that's just Oklahoma City stuff, and it's really worth checking out. But if I say I wrote about it, I'm saying that there was an article published.
And we'll link to it in the show notes as well.
That's true. But the Juvenile Bureau brought a couple of items, and one was to recognize – they do this every once in a while. They come and they have a resolution to recognize, to accept and recognize donors who gave stuff. And so like sometimes they'll have a party. Like what they did is they had an ice cream sundae party at the juvenile detention center, and county assessor's office, Larry Stein's office, the employees chipped in and bought ice cream and toppings and all this stuff.
That's cool.
And award-nominated, if not in fact winning, musician and county clerk David B. Hooten actually went and performed for the kids at the party, you know, with that salty-ass taps. I hope he just played 30 minutes of... but, you know, he might have played, like, Reveille so that he could play, like, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy.
It's a great song.
From Company David B. Hooten. That's convenient. But I love it that periodically Jamie Overstreet is the director of the Juvenile Bureau, and she's got this voice right here, like a real Phyllis Diller kind of a voice. Like you could tell she's been smoking since she was like 5 years old. She's great. I hope she doesn't listen to the podcast. I don't want to insult her. She just got like an incredibly smoky voice.
Like, I think those voices are awesome.
Like Kathleen Turner smoked 8 cigars last night and just woke up this morning. Mm-hmm. Like it's that kind of smoky. Hey, it's me, Smoky. Hey, Smoky Overstreet. She's great. She does a great job in the juvenile detention center. What a place. What an opportunity to be a bleak place. But also, it was... Detention Officer Week, which sounds like garbage, right? Off the top of your head, like, oh, Detention Officers Week. Yeah, let's recognize, hey, you're a screw at the jail. Let's recognize you for that awful job that you do, maybe very well, but, you know.
How well can one do that job?
I've seen Shawshank Redemption more than once. I'm going to suggest a movie about screws. It's called... Against the Wall. It's currently streaming on HBO Go, and so I assume also on HBO Now, if you have a password to that. If you don't, here's mine.
Can I suggest a TV show to you about screws?
No.
Darn.
No, is it Property Brothers?
It's Home Improvement.
Okay. Even worse.
With Tim Allen.
Do you know who I hate more than any other celebrity? Tim Allen. And it's nothing about him. It's his face. It looks like it's built out of used chewing gum. And it's the most punchable face that exists. I have a deep-seated...
I totally agree with that.
Like a deep-seated supernatural, like, hatred for the sight of Tim Allen. And my friend Brad takes advantage of that. He sees a Tim Allen book at the thrift store and he buys it and leaves it for me somewhere where I'm going to come across and just like, oh, boy. But so for Detention Officers Week, Against the Wall, by the way, is about Attica. And Kyle MacLachlan plays a new detention officer and Samuel L. Jackson plays a Black Panther who is incarcerated. Not the animal, by the way. So take it easy. He plays like a Black Power advocate who is incarcerated at Attica, and it is a pretty good movie. Anyway,
T'Challa?
Nate, stop sighing into the microphone. But at this meeting of the county commissioners, they had a resolution recognizing the detention officers at the juvenile detention center, and it was actually really nice because you know what, like they were dressed in their uniforms, which are khakis and polo shirts. Like they're not walking around with guns on their hips and stupid like handcuffs hanging off of them. By the way, chief of police wears his police uniform still, even though he's the chief. And like he was standing in front of me at the meeting of the city council the other day, and I was just like, I think I've got handcuffs. When was the last time the chief used handcuffs? He's got them there in case he has to make an arrest suddenly.
There are other uses for handcuffs.
Hey.
Just saying.
This is a family podcast.
Is it though?
God damn it, yes. So anyway, they recognize the detention officers from the juvenile detention center, and they're just, I'm going to go and tour that place soon because I'm really curious about kind of how it looks and what it's like and what the tiers are like. So social services gave out grants again, and they gave out money to one. Okay, so let me just give you this. I'm not saying good or bad about any of these organizations. They all do good work. They all do important work. Is the dollar amount difference indicative of how important or good the work is? No, I don't think so. And especially, it seems like it's easier to get big grant money if you get big donor money. And I think that's backwards, see?
Yeah.
But that's how it works, right? Is that like you clearly you're good at stewarding this money and you can leverage this money or whatever. That's how it works. So I'm going to give you like, let's see, the Eastern Oklahoma County Tech Center. This is all for like earmarked for fuel, repairs, maintenance for vehicles, insurance, activity supplies for this, you know, this technical school. They got $8,000. The Metropolitan Better Living Center, they got $9,000. Let's see. How about Positive Tomorrows? You familiar with Positive Tomorrows?
Very. Yes. Love them.
School for Children Experiencing Homelessness, right?
They do incredible work.
They do incredible work. And how much money did they get? $8,500. City Care got money. $26,000.
Oh.
26,000?
That's right. 26,000. 26 by K. $1,000. We opened bids, and I bring this up because so there were five items for bids. One was printing and mailing of assessor forms, boring. Lawn maintenance supplies, boring. Rebid Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office training facility, roof and siding replacement, boring.
Very.
But then grocery products, right?
What?
And I was like, huh? Grocery products? Turns out that was for the juvenile detention center. And it's just like the commissary, like who's going to supply their cafeteria. That's
makes
what it
sense.
Was. And but when I saw grocery products, I was like, what is this? But now I know. And the other was sheriff's office uniforms, which also is very boring. But let me just tell you, one of the bids that they opened, the company was special ops uniforms. Give me a break. Give me a break. special ops uniform. They just wear stupid like wool pants and dumb shirts. So that was really it from the Board of County Commissioners. There was also a public buildings authority meeting. Nothing happened there. And then there was a downtown design review committee. And that was actually very fascinating. There was so much technical stuff in that. One thing I learned.
Nerd shit.
Yeah, no, for real. One thing I learned was that when the city builds a road, builds a street, right, that they take an easement there. They take an easement.
Take an easement. I want you to take an easement.
So the land is like, say, they're abutting properties and the street splits them. So the dirt underneath remains the property, technically, of the property owner. And it's just an easement. And when they vacate that easement, the land beneath, like the easement, reverts to the ownership of that abutting landowner. I learned this because they're vacating an easement down close to the Oklahoma Boulevard because they put up barricades. It's like Southeast or Southwest 2nd. They put up barricades so that you don't keep going. And then they laid sod down and people are driving around the barricades and across the grass to get on the Oklahoma Boulevard. And this is, by the way, a quarter mile, half mile from where all the accidents are happening. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, what it really indicates is that we didn't need a new interstate highway right through the middle of the city. And that we don't know what we're doing still when we build streets in Oklahoma City after well over 100 years of making roads and streets in Oklahoma City. We're still kind of bad at it.
I'm so shocked after seeing all the roads here.
Oh, my gosh. So this specific easement goes through, it's right by the Ozarka plant, if you're familiar, just south of City Rescue Mission. But no, I thought it was really interesting because Ozarka, like, these people going through there, driving through there, like driving through like the loading docks at Ozarka. Like there's nothing less possibly inviting about it. But for some reason, people are still like, oh yeah, I can go down. Yeah, I could go down this way and drive around in big concrete blocks down there and over the grass and get right on a boulevard. I guess that's how to get on there. That looked like an on ramp to me, right? Don't it to you? The giant concrete block at the end of the street, the big patch of grass. I am a stupid idiot, and I think what I'm going to do, I'm going to drive through this loading dock. I'm going to go past these big trucks. Love big trucks. Oh, there's a big piece of concrete in the way. I'll just go around it in the grass like an idiot. That's what I did. I said that from personal experience. I was saying that on... I was like, yeah, you know, I think the Cubs are going to go all the way to the end of the season this season. Yeah. Probably not going to the World Series, though. But the Bears, don't worry. Oh, what is this big concrete block right here? Oh, my God. I said, no, that was really my response. Oh, my God. Oh, God. There's a giant concrete. Why would you do that?
It's a block.
Oh, there's a block. Honey. Honey, look over. There's a block over here.
This is a 20-foot wall of concrete.
There's a wall of concrete I got to get through.
Guys, I missed Midwest accents so much. it makes me so happy whenever I hear one.
It's a wall of concrete.
So anyway, the dirt beneath the street is owned by the property owner, pending the city's vacation of an easement. Yeah. Also, the development framework for downtown, they were discussing changes to that, and that is wonky, wonky, wonky stuff. But I have a PowerPoint. If you want to ever see it, contact me, and I will share it with you happily because I got it from the Public Information Office of the City of Oklahoma City. Thank you, Chris Yeager. Also, Aria from Clarity Coffee works in the PIO office.
Cool.
Yeah. It doesn't give me any special access, but it does make me feel happier when I go by there. I'm just like, oh, somebody I know. So listen, guys, here's what's important about all of this. Local government is really boring, and it's full of stupid people like me making bad decisions like I make. What? Don't laugh at me. I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired all the time of it. That is all. thanks for joining us on yet another, probably not that great episode of what we like to call around here, OKC Span, colon, podcast edition. That's with an E, not A. Not addition, like add up a podcast,
like,
but rather
podcast than, 7 + 5 = 12.
That was quick. Man, you're good at math. Listen, I want to thank my friend Nate for being here. Thank you, Nate.
You are welcome. Thank you for having me here in my home.
Into your home. I want to thank my best friend, Katrina. Yeah. Thank you for being here on this podcast. Thank you.
In my home.
In your home. Thank you both for letting me use your home. Thank you guys for letting me do this. Thank you to Kind of Company. That's y'all. Thank you to all the listeners who have been giving me good feedback. Thank you so much. If you like this podcast, please go on. Please. Ah, geez, just go on iTunes. Give it a 5-star review and a 5-star rating and a positive review. A goofy review. Here's what you say. Okay. This week, I want at least two of you to please go and rate this and write this review. Man, this Marty guy. Have you ever heard his voice? It's like if Burt Reynolds and David Hasselhoff made out and created a voice, that's what he sounds like. It's like what his voice is saying is what I've always meant to think, but I never did before. Thank God for Marty. Thank God. May he rest in peace. So if you'll write that review and give it a 5-star rating, I would really appreciate it. Trot on over to okc-span.com. See what happens there. We do have some treats in mind for the near future, which includes we're going to do some T-shirts, but we want to do a pre-order so that we can buy those T-shirts, and we're going to screen print them ourselves because we're all that type of artsy person.
I don't know if you know this or not, but OKC Span, the real meaning of the name, it actually stands for Oklahoma City. So poor.
Oh.
And nice.
So poor and nice.
Which means that we don't have the money to buy shirts, but we're nice and we want to.
We want to. So if we do pre-orders, then we can get those shirts. Then we can make those shirts. Then we can get those shirts to you.
Then we can be OKC somewhat poor and nice.
Significantly poorer after 9. special person entering world, egg yolk. Nope, that's Spewy, not Span. I got that wrong. So I just want to thank you again for just how kind you've been to me. You gentle listener. I'm not talking to Katrina and Nate right now. They know I mean that to them too, but I'm talking to you. Thank you so much. Nate, stop breathing in the microphone. Anyway, hey, everybody. Thanks for coming by. Katrina and Nate, I like you guys so much.
Same.
We like you so much.
Same. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Busy newsroom. Murmurs. Typewriter noises.
Typewriter noises, typewriter noises.
Murmur.
Busy newsroom.
Murmur.
Busy newsroom.
Wow, murmur. This is just garbage. That'll definitely kick
up. That's good.